I did want to start with the legislature. The Albuquerque Journal put together a pretty good list of what got through this session and what didn't. So I won't go through the whole thing, but here are the big ones, I think, on crime and public safety. The bills that did pass: increased penalty for aggravated battery of a police officer, remove time limits on prosecuting, remove the statute of limitation mm-hmm. on sexual crimes against children, mm-hmm. expand medical mental health intervention for defendants who pose a threat. That's been the big one, this mm-hmm. not competent to stand trial. So they're trying to get more services for that that program. And this was a big one to me, too. Create legislative truth-finding commission to investigate the Zorro Ranch.
Yes.
The Zorro Ranch, for people who don't know, I don't know why I say that. The Zorro Ranch was one time owned by Jeffrey Epstein, and it was visited frequently. I don't know how frequently, but once is too many times by Bill Richardson. And so they're going to look into that. And yeah. Good for them.
Now, that's a lot of years since he owned it, so there could be evidence that's no longer.
Yeah,
but
that's
an active crime.
That's what
scene,
we get with this Epstein stuff. Yes, you know, we're not going to get criminal prosecutions, but right now we're getting nothing.
That's right.
You know, in England and in Europe, at least they're being shamed and run out of their positions.
Yes, here, and in fact, throughout many other countries also have had. Their political leaders have
exactly
left
right.
in disgrace, or heads of various businesses have left. But
and here Scott Bessent gets caught in not only a lie, but a melodramatic lie.
Yeah.
I will never be in the same room. I mean, give that man an Oscar.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then we're partying. We're bringing our kids.
Yeah.
And then we're bringing our kids.
Yeah, and we're bringing our children mm-hmm. to Epstein Island.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what did get passed.
Okay.
What did not get passed in terms of crime and public safety was all the gun stuff. So increased criminal penalty for convicted felons in possession of a firearm, ban the sale of assault weapons, broaden the definition of serious youth offender, and permit unsealing of juvenile records. So, you know, once again, the gun lobby wins out, as they do. Mm-hmm. On health care, what did get through, and this is big, $10,000 income tax credit for doctors, revise the state's medical malpractice laws. That's what we'll be talking about later. Increase the revenue for the state's health care affordability fund, provide funding for New Mexico University Medical School building, join interstate licensing compacts for physicians and social workers, mm-hmm. increase funding for student loan repayment programs for aspiring doctors. So that's a lot.
That is.
And they recognize the
they
problem.
They really focused on
they
health,
did.
I think, this time.
And
necessary to do so, yes.
What didn't get through, I don't think, is as important on education. Create a nominating process for recommending university regents. This is after the Western New Mexico University regent, mm-hmm. Mr. Shepherd, went on these luxury vacations on the taxpayers' dime, brought the other regents with him. And honestly, there has been no standards or...
Yeah. As a faculty member decades ago at NMSU, I was among those that were talking about a need to have some sort of criteria, some sort of vetting for people that are named to the Board of Regents.
Yep. One of the others that passed, establish a new office for special education. I think that's good. Compels school districts to report how many students are in virtual learning. We should at least know those things.
Yes.
One of the ones that didn't get passed, I'm a little disappointed, ban cell phones and other electronic communication devices in the classroom. I don't want, why do you need a cell phone when you're in the classroom? I don't get that one.
No, probably because their focus was on so many on the health care issues and some of the other issues that it just didn't get the traction.
Yeah.
But I also individual families could stop cell phones, maybe teachers, maybe school districts.
They should. You're right.
So you're not it's not really just up to the state.
That's exactly right. I saw that didn't get passed, and I thought, what's the argument against it? I don't get it. Let's see, energy and the environment, this was kind of disappointing. They passed increased penalties for water theft, amend the definition of advanced energy product to include fusion energy. And what didn't get passed is the more important stuff, the future greenhouse gas emissions limit by the Clear Horizons Act. And the Green Amendment, which Representative Ferrari introduced,
yes.
got pulled in the first week.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah, not a lot done on that. What else here is important? You know, those are probably the biggest ones.
Yeah.
So
very active, though, overall.
Yeah, I was going to say, my expectations are so low, especially in a 30-day session.
Yes, that's what's astonishing to me. Often those are just like pro forma.
Oh, and I missed the biggest one of all, and they did too. I wasn't on their list. But to me, the biggest one of all is the constitutional amendment, where we can pay our legislators. And the way that would work is they would get a salary equal to the median average income, which I think is around $60,000. And the challenge now, it's been passed by the legislature. It cannot be vetoed by the governor, but it does go to the voters in November. And so it will be one of usually three or four constitutional amendments.
And I hope the voters see that this is something that really serves their interests, because more people couldn't run for the legislature, not just those that are affluent, not those in positions of, you know, with really good jobs. And I mean, just ordinary Americans. And I think this is an issue you should probably raise with our two legislators, state legislators, coming this later in the program.
Well, and I should say both of them voted in favor of the amendment. And so we know that where they stand, at least publicly.
Yeah.
And I want to commend Representative Rubio, who has been working on this year after year. You just keep going back and keep introducing and keep making the same argument. And eventually they broke through. And so... And just to kind of build on what you said, I did my column about that for this week, and I went through and looked at what do they list for occupations. And the top of that is no occupation at all. So if you're not working, that means you've got an income from somewhere.
Yes.
How many people fit into that category?
Even if you're retired, you've got a health.
Well, that was the next highest list.
Oh, that was oh.
So not no,
no working
no,
is above not a, is
yeah
above
no
retired?
Occupation at all is first highest. Retired is second highest. Business owner comes next.
Uh-huh.
Attorney comes next. So you can see these are people who could take time off and not have to do the 40 hours a week, not have to. Those are the only people who now qualify for this job.
Yes.
And then the next one after that was teachers. And the reason they get it is because the school districts give them paid time off because they're going to go argue for larger education budgets.
Yes.
So we have limited the applicants to this job to such a tiny pool of people.
Yeah. And even if they're not consciously voting against other people's interests, they see things through the prism of their own experiences, and they may be completely clueless about the issues that are confronting many New Mexicans.
They absolutely do. And what I was going to say, and I think the perfect example of that is Joseph Cervantes on the medical malpractice bill. Joseph Cervantes is a medical malpractice attorney. He makes his living on medical malpractice. So having no cap on punitive damages is very good for the income of the Cervantes family.
Yeah.
And in any other state in the country, that would be a conflict of interest. And once again, I'll credit Fred Nathan for looking this up for me. In New Mexico, the Ethics Committee has specifically said that there is no conflict of interest at the New Mexico legislature. It is entirely 100% up to them to police themselves. And it has to be, well, I don't know how you get more direct than the conflict of interest that Cervantes has.
Yeah.
And I asked him about that. And his response was, well, I didn't write the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You voted on the bill. You headed the committee where the bill was heard.
Yes.
And not only that, you wrote the poison pill. You wrote the three amendments that were intended to be a poison pill to kill the bill.
Yeah.
So no, you didn't write the bill, but you wrote the thing that was intended to kill it. Now, to be fair, in the end, he voted for it.
Yes.
But he did everything. Well, not only this year, he has done for year after year after year as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He's killed the bill. I say everything he could do. It's very easy. It's not a heavy lift.
Yeah.
You just don't hear it.
Yeah. And then you don't even have appearance of conflict because,
right.
Hey.
Yeah. Didn't have time. Couldn't get to
time.
It.
Didn't have time. Yep. Other things.
But
pressing.
That's what I'm saying. So we have two things. One is an incredibly small pool of applicants. And what that does is people don't want the job.
Yeah.
And so you have 15, and I think I got this right, only 15 of the 40 Senate positions. I'm pretty sure I have that right. No, 42. 15 of the 42 Senate positions were contested, a Republican against a Democrat in the November election. 15 out of 42.
Wow. Wow.
The rest were uncontested. Maybe they were contested in the primary. That's not a democracy.
No.
The Republicans aren't running in the liberal, in Doniana County. A lot of those are, and Democrats aren't running in Chavez County and Eddy County and the, you know, up in Farmington. We've got one party system in a lot of this state, and a lot of that is because good candidates, good young ambitious candidates who know this stuff, who know all the government and have been living it all their lives, can't do it.
Yeah.
They can't afford. They got to earn a living, and you can't earn a living as one of, what do we got, 140. Less than 200 people with control over an $11 billion budget. $11 billion budget.
Yeah.
You've got control over that. You've got control over health care. You've got control over the environment. You've got control over public safety. You've got control over all of these things.
Infrastructure, education, lots.
And we want to do that with amateurs.
Yeah.
And we want to do that with
part-time.
Part-time amateurs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really hope I know New Mexico, and I don't mean this to sound bad, but this is a state that loves free stuff. I love free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. We love it more here than most people. And so you got to convince people that
you get what
sometimes
you pay for.
You get what you pay for. Yeah. That is exactly right. And
it's also troubling because it invites candidates that don't have deep pockets themselves to cozy up to it. Vested interests that can help to fund their campaigns.
That's the other thing it does.
Yeah.
It makes them, yeah,
more
it makes
beholden.
Them dependent. Beholden is the better word. That's exactly what it does. So that is potentially a huge change.
This will be really interesting to see. I think we should have Rubio on again.
Oh, we will next week.
Yeah. Oh, good. I missed that. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, next week. So, and like I said, I hope they get out and they sell it to the voters, because there is going to be that group of people who think, well, why should I pay for something I'm getting free now? And
Your column is really important, too. We need to distribute that more broadly.
Well, I do my little part. But I know you wanted to also talk about did you even watch the speech last night?
No.
I didn't either.
No.
I kind of did. I switched back and forth.
I tried to, but yeah.
Okay.
It's clearly just a blame game of Democrats. They're the great big boogeymen that are stymieing all of these things. And of course, he did mention about the Supreme Court decision in the VOS versus Trump case 6-3. But he didn't insult the justices. I did check on that personally. Of course, he had been earlier. But he did talk about it being very wrong. And, you know, what I'm curious about, I started looking more closely at that case and wondered, what if I've read a number of instances where commentators are saying this is finally a check on the presidential power. But is it really? What if the administration doesn't comply? And in fact, that's what we're starting to see. For example, on that case, the lawsuit had been brought against the tariffs by some small companies and some states. And it was struck down with a 6-3 vote. Donald Trump's unilateral and sweeping imposition of tariffs on more than 100 countries, virtually every U.S. trading partner. And they said this exceeded presidential authority. And the administration now is claiming this will ruin trade deals that had already negotiated with other countries. They cited their basis of claiming this power was a 1970s emergency statute to authorize this emergency tariffs, even though it doesn't mention tariffs without congressional approval, that statute, and that otherwise it isn't really an emergency against these 100 countries. But previous presidents have used it, but they place sanctions or embargoes in other countries in response to emergency situations. But none has levied tariffs, so it's... But what we're beginning to see is that Trump is trying to work it around in order to keep the tariffs. He plans to use other legal grounds to impose these levies. They're less flexible than the emergency law. The process could take longer and maybe must be more targeted and justified. And yet, what his U.S. trade representative said, I think yesterday, his tariff policy would not change, only the legal basis.
Yeah, that's
so it's
BS.
Basically, all right, we're going to shift.
That's
we'll
bluster.
Just we'll just use liquid paper and white out
yeah.
this one section, tacking this other law.
No, I mean, my understanding is that under the law, he is able to levy tariffs for, I believe, 150 days. So, yeah, he can do that.
But he keeps them for much longer. And what he said in last night's State of the Union address, congressional action will not be necessary. And
well,
I
he's
think,
wrong.
And I think he's doing that in repudiation of Neil Gorsuch, a concurring opinion that argued that Congress is the only branch with the power to tax and that tariffs
right.
are, in essence, a tax
yeah, no,
on the American
I mean, listen,
people.
He's
and we
blustering
know it is.
And he's saying...
And it's a regressive tax.
Right, but he's wrong. And if your argument is that he's just going to ignore it, then we've got a constitutional crisis.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't think he's going to do that.
Well, I think he will say certain things, but I
well,
think,
of course he'll say
but
certain
I think his
things.
His policies will, from what they're, the signals they're sending is that it's not going to change.
Well, the unfortunate thing in the court's decision is that they didn't specify what you need to do with all the money you've already
yes.
collected.
Yeah.
And so that leaves a gray area. And any time you leave this president a gray area, he's going to treat it as if it's a black area and all
yes.
entirely on his side.
Yes, exactly.
So the court is going to have to come back
and clarify
that.
And it's not 100%. Of course, you did have three of the justices.
Right,
and,
right.
And that was something I was also ruminating on the Nixon tapes case, where the Supreme Court consciously made a unanimous decision because it was really they
yeah.
did not want to give wiggle room to the president. And
yeah, we're beyond those days.
We're well beyond those
yeah,
days.
Yeah.
Now, another example that I've seen is that these cases involving detentions of immigrants, what we're finding is that the Justice Department is acting in such a cavalier manner that judges, lower court judges, are really starting to get impatient with them. Government lawyers, and this is the Justice Department, which I have always studied. I know that, you know, I'm one of the few handful of people in the country who really knows her attorney general stuff.
Right.
But these are lawyers who are using delaying tactics, are presenting false information to the courts. They're not incorrect legal basis and incorrect grounds. And an increasing number of cases where the administration is then ignoring those lower court rulings pertaining to deportations of immigrants. Now, there are some pushback that's interesting where the judges are starting to get more frustrated, and you're now seeing some of these attorneys being threatened with contempt of court for
not
the
just threatened. You're seeing them get
in one
slapped
case,
with
so last Wednesday, a federal judge in Minnesota was so fed up that she found the Justice Department attorney in civil contempt of the court because they had not yet turned over documents for a man that had been held, been arrested in Minnesota, sent down here to El Paso. He was released under the court order, but he never received his documents, so he was stuck down there. He didn't have any identifying documents, and the justice had not been in any hurry to give them to him. So with this imposition, $500 a day for the attorney, the man's documents were returned. Sort of miraculously, they found him.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's what will happen, will continue to happen.
Well, I think we're going to start seeing more of that because
oh, I do too.
Because the justices so far have been really deferential, if you will. The attorneys are saying, well, there's an overload of cases because, of course, a lot of the good prosecutors have quit or been fired.
Yeah, that's right.
But the New York Times has found 35 cases in recent months where these the Justice Department has not complied. In New Jersey alone, another series of numbers, the Justice Department and detention cases admitted violating judicial orders 52 times since early December in these kind of cases. And they're saying it's overload, but this is an overload that's created by the Trump administration policies. You're picking up thousands of people. They're now having to – their bond has been refused. So – which normally would be granted if you're not a security flight risk or a danger to the community. So now you have thousands of detainees sitting in prison filing habeas corpus petitions.
Right.
And so it's either a function of Harvard Law professor Noah Feldman said it's a function of overload plus incompetence plus an attitude of disrespect. And I do think that's true.
Well, we don't care.
Yeah.
Plus, we don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I.
You're saying that as the American people not paying attention, it's not on our agenda?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying just the opposite of that. I think the American people are repulsed.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the opposite of that.
So who's the we that doesn't care?
Oh, we is Trump.
Oh, no,
the Trump
that
administration.
Is exactly right. And
ICE.
I was shocked at the demeanor of Pam Bondi, the attorney general.
Well, that's
general.
What I was going to say. I honestly think...
Speaking of disrespect.
Well, Kash Patel, the FBI director, goes flying off to Italy to do beer bongs with a hockey team.
In the locker room.
And I understand anytime the FBI director flies anywhere, he has to take that plane, and it's expensive.
Yes.
Which is why past FBI directors would move their family to Washington, D.C., and not go on vacation and only use that plane for official business. That was then. This is now. Now is I'm flying off to party with my boys on the hockey team.
Yes, and somehow I'm there for security purposes.
Well, nobody believes that.
Nobody believes that.
That's what I'm saying. No, when I say nobody, understand there's 15-20% that thinks that he can walk on water. And when I say nobody, I'm excluding that group.
Yes, you're right.
So, and Pam Bondi goes before Congress and makes a fool of herself.
And really is so insulting to members
right.
of Congress. This is unprecedented, truly. Even
Jim Jordan, I mean, at the end of that, whatever you want to call it, one of the Democrats says, Mr. Chairman, she's embarrassing you. And that's exactly true. She turned that hearing into, you know, roasting. What do they call that? Jeffrey Ross and the, you know, the Roastmaster General. It's a congressional hearing.
At a congressional hearing.
And
in a legitimate area of inquiry.
And that's what Donald Trump did last night. I mean, everybody is so thrilled, his supporters, because he stayed on message. And I will give whoever wrote that speech credit, because it wasn't a speech. He wasn't a president giving a speech. He was a master of ceremonies.
Yep.
Let me introduce the hockey team. Let me introduce this person. Let me introduce that person. It wasn't a speech.
No, and then that way he stays on message. If he had to actually read a substantive speech, he would veer off because he'd get so
every
bored.
Every single time. So,
but that's a good observation that it was he was MC. Yeah.
Right.
He was not a president. But evidently, the people who really follow him prefer that.
Well, it was certainly an improvement over his meandering, you know.
Yeah, he would have really lost viewers then. But you could kind of see where it was going, and that's when I bailed. Did you stay the whole time and listen?
No. There's spring training games on. I tried. I really do. I did. But I kept, you know, okay, when are you going to talk about this? And, you know, and like I said.
And substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, what are we talking about here with Iran here, for example?
And I'll admit, I'm a little disappointed when he stays on script and doesn't give you the crazy Trump. Crazy Trump's more fun.
Well, it is true. What's late night going to do without him?
Yeah, well, they will figure something out.
They're still battling the FCC. When Tallarico was scheduled to appear on Stephen Colbert, he did an interesting turnaround because he had been ordered. CBS had backed down and said, "Oh, you can't have Tallarico there." The Texas Democrat that's running for a Senate seat, and so Colbert posted a picture of him and said, "Not Tallarico," and did a whole sort of
Well, he did as he did. He posted a picture that looked like Tallarico and didn't tell us until later that actually that's not him.
Yeah.
But that's another example of nobody. Tallarico, if he'd gone on that show, would have got a fraction of the viewers that he did with the online thing.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. It backfired beautifully.
It did. We are in the last minute, and we are going to have to. We got to be a little bit firmer on our brakes now because we have advertisers coming in the middle of the show. So that's a good.
That's a good thing.
I should give them a pitch real quick. The Destination Sports and Arts Complex, new underwriter for KTAL. They are on Loman, 1103 Loman, I believe. And they have just started with us this week, and so we welcome them on board, and we thank them for their support.
Absolutely.